Final Play Podcast welcomes you to the following presentation of the NFL.
Epic music for an epic trade deadline day. Like, holy moly.
Well,
apparently an absolute record that just got blown out of the water with the amount of trades that were done in the 11th hour of the NFL trade deadline, like 10 significant deals.
Well, it's the most I've ever had in a deadline day.
Ever. The most since 2000. I'm listening to a podcast with Adam Schefter on it. And he said the most recently was 2018, and it was five.
Yeah.
So they doubled that, and there's still deals that were out there that could have absolutely still been done as well.
Well, hello everyone. Welcome to the Final Play Podcast. We're talking NFL deadline day deal here. We've been just dead at the top there. That is a record 10 trades made at the 11th hour. Do you think, before we get
and
into...
And not to mention the ones that were done beforehand with Roquan Smith,
well, there's a few,
Kadarius
yeah.
Toney, Christian McCaffrey.
Robbie Anderson. Deion Jones. So, yeah, there was a heap. But do you think, looking at the players that got traded, and we'll go over them and talk about ones that we maybe, and teams we maybe thought should have played in the deadline day...
A little bit of deal and no deal.
Do you think this will keep going? Like this will be a yearly thing? Because if you look at it...
I think it will be now.
It looks like the players that, realistically, that are on their fourth or fifth year deal that the other teams didn't want to re-sign. So is this going to be a kind of a norm that's going to happen? Like if we don't want to re-sign you, we're going to put you on that trade block.
Yeah, and ship you off to a place where you can help them, but B, who can afford to be able to pay you your contract extension if we don't want to pay you.
Yeah,
and that's essentially what's happened with a few of these deals. Like you know they're on the back end of their rookie deal.
Yeah,
and it's the fact of do we want to pay them? Can we afford to pay them? And if not, let's try and get some draft compensation back, maybe some solid players in return, and go from there.
Okay, so as Miles said, we're doing a deal or no deal. I'll be chiming on the back of you because obviously we're all going to be pretty similar to deals, and maybe not no deals, but we'll see how we go.
I think the no deals are. I think they're pretty standard, I think. But there's quite a lot of action and also, you know, players that didn't go anywhere that we absolutely thought, you know, probably could have gone somewhere and helped out certain teams. So like we said off the top, we'll go through the couple that were before the trade deadline, like before the before the cutoff. I think, yeah, we said Robbie Anderson, you know, a sixth and a seventh rounder for Robbie Anderson's probably a little bit too much, but that's just me for an extremely slight built, very unproductive wide receiver, but yeah, you know, Arizona kind of needed a little bit extra there, I guess, but they've got D-Hop back, so I'm not 100%.
I'll probably don't have to spend much time on Robbie Anderson. I think his writing was on the wall when he started yelling at people on the sideline, and then
it wasn't even 24 hours later before they went, righto, bye.
And you're right, with D-Hop back and Hollywood Brown obviously went out for the year, they needed some sort of backup. So, not a sixth and a seventh, it's not, it's okay for both teams, if you know what I mean. You know, Carolina got rid of their, you know, their disgruntled player, and Arizona got what they needed. So, you know, I've seen that as a win-win, personally. I'm not saying...
A win-win.
Yeah, exactly what you were about to say. A win-win slash Robbie Anderson is not really a win-win player, but it's a win-win for what they both needed at the time.
A win-win, not so much on a grand scale, but on a very, very low scale. A bit of Woolies home brand scale there for deals. look, you know who I thought and there's a few teams here that have just straight out injury covering. I thought the Jets trading for James Robinson from the Jags and only having to give up essentially a conditional sixth round pick, which could turn into a fourth, I think. Is such a great move for them after they lost Breece Hall.
It was. I mean, I don't know what happened, to Michael Carter for the fact of I thought he was pretty productive last year. I like the way he plays. I mean, we're talking this after the, 1 week after the trades have happened. So, and Michael Carter looked good last week. So, while... I love James Robinson, and I think he could be a phenomenal RB1 on a team, or maybe RB1A, RB1B. I get the cover, but I mean, this is really, if we're looking at it, this is only going to be a one. You know, Breece Hall will be back next year, unless Michael Carter goes. James Robinson, you know, is well, what like he is unrestricted. Well, he's restricted next year, so he's only getting paid $500,000 from the Jets this year, and then he's restricted next year. I'm just looking at his contract details, so I think he's a stopgap, and I think he'll be in another team next year.
Yeah, he'll get paid eventually because he was undrafted, right? Like he didn't even get through the draft process and was picked up by the Jags. So
well, he's only 25.
That's why
too.
His salary is insanely small.
He's only 25, and he only had that one injury last year. Towards the end, but he came back pretty strong this year. He was the RB before moving to the Jets. He was the RB 18 before moving to the Jets. So that's not bad.
That's not bad.
The Jets. The reason I think the Jets did it is purely that they think. Obviously backup, but they think they can compete this year. I think they really think they do, and I'm not saying they can't. I just think they can.
There's a few teams out there that have made deals to go right where we're in for the here and now. I think the Dolphins are definitely one of them. The 49ers are absolutely one of them. What I messaged you straight after that 49ers Rams game last week, and I absolutely now believe that. If Christian McCaffrey is healthy, and that is a huge if, but a change of scenery might help him. I think the 49ers are going to the Super Bowl.
So the 49ers got a 2023 second round, 2023 third round, a 2023 fourth round, and a 2024 fifth round. I don't know why they do that, but hey.
throwing a little bit of extra.
We all know what we think of Christian McCaffrey. He is a phenomenal player when healthy is probably the key there. When healthy and can change a team, and he had that you mentioned it before, he had that one massive game where he blitzed the Rams, and the Rams. So what I read, I don't know how much it was true, but the Rams were really in for McCaffrey and this deal that from what I read,
they're the ones that pushed the price up. Otherwise, that
correct
this deal here might not have even been that many. You know, a second, third, and fourth in 23, and you know they absolutely were all in. Well, not so much all in, but you know whether they were just trying to get San Francisco to sort of lay out a little bit more and playing the end game here that they'll be a little bit depleted in years to come, because basically the Rams have offloaded every pick that they have as well. It just seems to be LA teams that just want to unload all picks, whether it's the Rams or whether it's the Lakers. So it was the Rams GM that come out there last year and basically said F them picks.
Yeah, he did. So he definitely did. I think the biggest thing that would have, to me at least, would have screwed the Rams if it went through is that while he's on $690,000 this year, which seems ridiculous for McCaffrey, next year it's all kicks in. So the next 3 years he's on $12 million each year for the next 3 years. So that's the cap hit that they would have had. And I don't know if they would have been able to afford a few other players.
That's right. Can they squeeze that in?
At least, because, you know, you've got, and this is the whole key with everything, 49ers can, because they've got a rookie quarterback. So that means rookie scale quarterback.
They've got a rookie quarterback. They've still got Nick Bosa on a rookie deal. So,
yeah,
you know, that they've got a lot of good players that are super productive at the moment. Well, obviously, Trey Lance isn't super productive at the moment, but they got the restructured deal with Jimmy G, so that would have saved them a lot on the salary cap. So they've got the space.
But the other side, I'd be surprised they would have had space. They paid Bobby Wagner, they paid Aaron Donald, they paid Kupp. You know what name wasn't cheap? Matthew Stafford. So
no.
I just couldn't fathom how they could have afforded it personally. But
no, anyway. that's right, and that's, I mean, I guess that's the game of chicken that they were sort of playing, I guess, with the 49ers.
What did you think about the Eagles getting stronger again, getting former All-Pro Robert Quinn from the Chicago for a fourth rounder?
sort of contradicting my sort of preseason sort of picks of going, you know, the Eagles are the real deal. Like that right there is quite possibly the NFC Championship game in the Niners and the Eagles, but they're just going from strength to strength at the moment. They're 8-0, you know, picking up Quinn for, you know, cents on the dollar, really. They only a fourth rounder for him, and just makes that defensive front for them so much more potent. Like, wow, that's a huge deal.
Yeah. I mean, they were already
get richer.
And that's their that's just a great GM, just still doing great, great deals. But they already had, you know, Fletcher Cox, Jordan Davis. Slay. So their defense is already been great. Darius Slay. We don't speak much on it. It's just the risk getting richer. It's a perfect
risk getting richer.
Thing.
But but I think also what's missed, but you know, we should sort of, the Chicago Bears are absolutely stacking draft capital, because, you know, they obviously offloaded Roquan Smith as well, who's one of the most devastating linebackers that's out there, to Baltimore, and they needed a little bit of help, you know, with sort of pass rushing. So that to me is a win-win deal. Like that they got, look, that, yeah, they offloaded AJ Klein, and what did the Bears got, a second and a fifth as well.
Correct.
So I think that's a good deal. And yeah, Chicago are stacking the draft capital. They're one of them teams that are absolutely, yeah, trying to get stacked for the draft to I guess to sort of spray multiple bullets out there to try and help them in multiple positions that they need help in next year.
It's interesting. So they're 3-5 at the moment. They obviously got rid of their, you know, their two best defensive players.
Yeah, two defensive linchpins.
Three. If we probably can't forget Khalil Mack at the start of the year too.
No, that's right. Yeah, Khalil Mack's at the Chargers.
But they're 3-5. We'll talk about another deal they got in soon. But next year onwards, they have $100 million free cap. And they have 14 picks next year. So 14 picks plus $100 million in salary cap space to upgrade the roster.
That GM, that management group there is going to be awfully busy at the end of the season.
And Fields are starting to look the way I think that they want to.
Absolutely.
So they did, I mentioned this before, but they did get a another wide receiver in Chase Claypool in for, they only had to give up a second rounder, which I don't know. Is that too much?
It was Claypool was a, he was a high sort of draft pick anyway.
He was a second rounder.
Yeah. So Pittsburgh, you know, they have the knack of sort of finding these gems.
They do.
Yeah. You know, especially at wide receiver. So I guess they're sort of going right with it, that they feel they've got something in Pickens. Claypool, I guess, has sort of been a little bit expendable in that offense at the moment. So why not try and get something back and get a second rounder from Chicago, which quite possibly could be a mid to high second round pick the way that their season's panning out. So that's again, I think that's a win-win,
and he could 40.
Well, and that instantly upgrades the wide receiver room there at Chicago right now.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't mind Chase Claypool. I've held him in one of my fantasy league teams for about 3 years.
The potential's there.
He had that 1 year where the potential was just insane. But they got, like you mentioned, I mean, it makes sense for Pittsburgh. They paid Deontay Johnson. They've got Pickens, who seems like an all-star, all-pro waiting to happen. So, again, you know, win-win probably both ways. So, you know, staying on wide receivers, Kadarius Toney going to the Chiefs for a third and a sixth rounder.
I'm not totally.
He's got to get on the field.
No, that's right. I'm not totally sold on that. And you know, Kansas City, I think they may have paid a little bit too much of a price for that. I don't know whether that's a little bit of, can you say desperation? Like, you know, they don't have the insane superstar like they had with Tyreek Hill there. They've got some very nice wide receivers there, and they're adding, can he be a complementary piece in, you know, a very pass-heavy offense? That's the Kansas City Chiefs. So it just sort of makes them a little bit, a little bit more, you know, heavy on in the pass game. But I think they might have given up a little bit too much to get him.
I think, like a fourth and a sixth, or even just a third by itself would have done it personally.
I think third by itself is absolutely enough. And even that's probably a little bit too much.
If he can somehow stay in the field and stay healthy, and you've got Mahomes throwing to him, it could be absolute trumps, but it's his
until
health.
Then,
you're right.
That's right. Until then. So we'll start hitting the deadline day actual deals now that we've gone through the ones beforehand, and we'll do a little bit of a deal and no deal type game. So I want to start off with the divisional trade, which doesn't vary much happen all that often, in TJ Hockenson, Detroit Lions tight end, going to the divisional rival in Minnesota Vikings. Basically, here's the first injury cover. Irv Smith has gone down for 8 to 10 weeks, which essentially rules him out of most of the season. The Vikings are looking the goods. They're looking to push their claims. The division's almost wrapped up.
The 6-1 Vikings.
The division's almost wrapped up, really.
Yeah.
And compensation, yeah, second and a third, a second in 23 and a third in 24. But, you know, also there was fourth rounders and conditional fourth rounders for the Vikings as well. So I think the Lions may have been a little bit fleeced in that. Like, I think they could have got a lot more for Hockenson than that. He's a very good, you know, mid-range, almost close to being top 10 tight end. And tight ends are tough to come by.
So it's funny. I thought the same thing, but then on the other side, I thought, well, this is a clear, what we've said a couple of these players, this is obviously a clear cover for injury for Minnesota. But clearly,
that means the Lions have got even a little bit more leverage to go, hey, you want him, don't you? Give us more. They didn't even get a player back in return.
But this is also, to me, a clear, and this is probably where the Vikings said, well, if you're not going to pay him, we're going to pay him. So, because he needs to get paid next year. So that's, you know, clearly they want to pay him. And this is where, I mean, you know this, especially in NBA trade deadlines, a lot of the salary dumps.
Yeah, salary dumps.
Are for that reason. So, you know, maybe Lions just said, well, we're not going to pay him, but we'll get.
That's usually on large salaries, though. Like, do you know what I mean? Like players that are absolutely not worth what they're being paid. And they go, well, you know, they trade him to an awful team as basically a salary dump. But, yeah, this is a. I found that this was a little bit of a funny deal. It didn't make sense. I thought the Lions would have had a little bit more ascendancy and a little bit more leverage in this deal to sort of parlay that into a little bit more. And I don't think they got the compensation that's worth it.
I don't know. I mean, they were not going to get a first, but I don't, unless they would have had to get a player back in return. That's the only thing I could have.
I think they should have got something back, as you know, as in an actual player. Yeah, not worrying about draft compensation, but how about give us something back in return? And now, you know, I think the Lions, I don't really want to call it a hot start, but you know, a start that was definitely unexpected to them for the season, I think will go extremely down the toilet. Which just seems to be the Lions. I think that just seems to be the Lions' story for the history of their franchise.
That's happening. That I put no doubt in my mind. That's happening. They have 32nd in that you know, that next gen deal OTA stats. They have 32nd and 32nd in their defensive team. So you know, they may. I'm betting that they'll have one of those top three, top four picks again this year, and they'll have to pick up one of those quarterbacks coming. I'm not saying that Jared Goff hasn't been bad, but they also, you know, I don't know what else they need to start doing. They need to think of their future, and I don't know if Jared Goff's their future. He hasn't been playing that bad this year, so I'm not trying.
I think with a bit more protection, and you know, they picked up a couple of years ago. They picked up Penei Sewell. You know, who's a really good offensive lineman and you know, can be that sort of, you know, again, linchpin for their, you know, for their offensive front, to try and protect whoever. But you go straight up a rookie quarterback, and unless they're an absolute superstar, then you're going backwards again.
I guess around that time, speaking of going straight on to no deal, the Texans were exploring trade options for their wide receiver, Brandon Cooks. Didn't eventuate, but right up until the 11th hour, why Dallas Cowboys were in deep talks with them. But what ended up not happening was the draft compensation couldn't be resolved in time. So
no, it didn't eventuate. Also, I think also the salary as well, because Cooks is like $18 million on the book. So I think that was a big hindrance to any deal that didn't eventuate with Brandon Cooks.
The thing with that, he can
help a lot of teams out there.
He could help a lot of teams. If we did it, that would have been, and we would have had to pay, if we had to pay that $18 million, that would have been ridiculous, because we let go of Amari Cooper playing well at the Browns for a second rounder. So if we did that, that's what the first thing I would have thought of. But I'm glad we didn't, because our defense is winning our games, not at the moment. Our offense isn't playing that good. We're 6-2 on the back of our defense, on our offense.
No, absolutely.
First one. So
absolutely.
Another, I guess, deal. Well, this to me was the biggest deal I personally think of the trade deadline, and that was the Dolphins trading for Bradley Chubb. From the Broncos. So they got Bradley Chubb, as I just said, and a fifth rounder. And in return, they sent Chase Edmonds, a first rounder, 2023 first rounder, and a fourth round. the first thing I when I read this, because it came
and pretty much immediately signed Chubb to a massive deal.
At 116 million, I think it's 60 million guaranteed. Yeah. The first thing I read after this was a tweet that someone come out with that, and I think you, I remember telling you, but the after this trade, the three first rounders that they got from San Francisco in exchange for Trey Lance turned into Tyreek Hill, turned into an upgraded Jaylen Waddle, because they had to move up the draft to get him, and Bradley Chubb for Trey Lance. You can't, I'm not saying Trey Lance, I should say pick three, shouldn't say Trey Lance.
Yeah, that's it's a bit right. harsh. And, fleecing the 49ers. But here's the kicker for that. It even stems back to the Laremy Tunsil trade, where they get more draft capital from there. So from the from the Texans, which they would have got high picks from there. So it's insane what the Dolphins have parlayed those picks into for them to be competing like they are. And as long as Tua stays healthy, and as long as that cage doesn't get rattled again, because if that cage gets rattled again, then they've got to go back to Bridgewater, and we all seen what Bridgewater, and we all seen what Skylar Thompson, their third string quarterback.
Yeah, I agree.
It doesn't look pretty.
No, I agree with that. But I remember reading Laremy Tunsil ages ago, because you're right, he started all this for what two events
started it all.
He said if they end up winning a Super Bowl, he wants a statue outside Dolphin Stadium of himself, because he got it for him. It was awesome.
He's the catalyst. He's the one that started everything. It's unbelievable to go back that far for these picks to be able to come to fruition, and for the Dolphins, you know, who have been, I guess, sort of in the last 15 years or so, been pretty flatline franchise.
And we will say, we will say on the other side, they simply couldn't pay Chubb next year, because they've invested heavily in Russell Wilson. And they, you know, long term,
that seems to be going well.
Well, of course. But they kind of made their bed. They kind of have to go with what they've done, unfortunately.
That offense at the bottom of the Rocky Mountains is horrible. Horrible.
And look, it would probably different if Javonte Williams was still, you know, healthy and running around. But what I
still
found,
got Melvin. That's something. But they still had Melvin Gordon there. They bring in a pretty good. Not a like for like replacement, but a pretty good replacement in Latavius Murray, who's been bouncing around the league, you know, as a filibuster the last few years, but it's still very effective.
And picked up Chase Edmonds in that.
Yeah, that's right. So now they've got a running back dilemma again.
I just find it hilarious that right at the start of the year, everyone was saying, "Oh, Wilson's going through a great offense in Judy and Sutton." Didn't he have two better wide receivers in DK Metcalf, in Tyler Lockett?
They are 50 times better
than
Jerry Judy and Cortland Sutton.
I can't believe when I heard that. Like, anyway, they've made their own bet. I'm only going to bring up this deal because it happened literally straight after, before we said no deal, and that was Miami making just a deal to get, I guess, the cover for Edmonds and getting Jeff Wilson from the 49ers. Not to talk
Mike McDaniels is stacking his boys up.
He loves his San Francisco Niners.
He was the offensive coordinator over there. He knows what works, and he knows that these guys that he's getting in here can get the job done. You know, he's got Raheem Mostert, who was over there with him at the 49ers. Now he's got Jeff Wilson, so he knows these guys. Mostert's one of the fastest running backs that's out there. They're not your traditional thumper. But, you know, they've got guys that are out there that he knows that can fit into the system that he's running, which, yeah, he's, you know, he was meant to be the run guru. Do you know what I mean? And Miami's run game has been a little lackluster, to say the least, to start this season off, which everybody sort of thought, you know, they've got the nice new, you know, shiny toys in Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle there. So, and to a lesser extent, they've got one of the bigger tight ends going around in Gesicki, who's essentially fallen off the face of the planet there offensively. But yeah, their run game could be a whole lot better. And now that they've got guys, I think, that will know the system and probably know the playbook, you know, or know the language of the playbook anyway, that run game could get a lot better.
You can't blame Gesicki for falling off when, at the moment, Tyreek Hill is, at the moment, as of this week, what are we, 8 weeks in? He's already got 961 yards.
Yeah, exactly.
So he is on track. I know we're not going deep in this, but he's on track to break Calvin Johnson's record purely based on that second game. The extra game.
That's right. That's a bit of an outlier there, isn't it?
I know, but if he can get it before that, that's awesome. But you know, 961 yards already. Jesus
Christ. Yeah, not even halfway. Yeah, essentially halfway through the season.
And Waddle's getting yards too. So that team, yeah. Anyway, that team's just built.
Explosive.
You got a no deal there?
Look, I think we'll keep going with no deals for wide receivers. Two New York Jets wide receivers that sort of come out and had a little bit of a gripe with Robert Saleh and the New York Jets in Elijah Moore and Denzel Mims, requesting trades. And nothing happened. Whether the Jets thought that they could have got more for them, whether the Jets fielded calls and didn't take the deal seriously, I'm not 100% sort of sure what has really happened there and why those, sort of disgruntled wide receivers there aren't on different teams. But the thing is, they're not even being used in their own offense. So. Or not being used that much, so they're left in a little bit of limbo in a Jets team that they think can, you know, they're making the AFC East quite competitive.
For me, I get the Denzel Mims one. I think he was sort of, to me, a little bit left out of the Kyle. When you have a Garrett Wilson, when you have Corey Davis, then you have Elijah Moore. The Elijah Moore one, I don't get.
Corey Davis has been up and down, and he's been hurt as well. So there's definitely room in that offense for him, I think.
I don't get the Elijah Moore one, but I just think the only thing I can put it down to is that he's just not getting enough ball. But that, honestly, I think that's Zach Wilson. And look, they're winning.
That's the thing too. They might have to change their offensive philosophy a little bit.
I think so.
Now, and not go with so much of a run heavy offense. They're going to have to rely on Wilson's arm, and it doesn't look terrific. Like, he's still not being protected very well. He's being flushed out of the pocket a lot. And was it last week that he threw three interceptions against the Patriots, who just seem to have the Jets number? It's been like, I think it's like 13 straight losses or something to the Patriots. So, he didn't look like a very happy afternoon there, I think, for Zach Wilson. But, you know, he's been, I think it's a matter of, he just needs to be a little bit more of a game manager rather than, you know, trying to be a superstar just yet. But, you know, that with probably the best wide receiver, and I'll debate that, but, you know, one of the best wide receivers out of this rookie class, I think that they'll be trying to use him in Garrett Wilson. And it's a little bit, I don't know. It's a little bit of a catch-22. They want to try and use him, but yeah, does Zach have the time? He's got good arm strength, but he's just not being afforded the time to be able to get Garrett Wilson the ball.
Sorry, you're until I see how Jamison Wilson is on the Lions, because of how much he was touted. Your boy Olave is the best wide receiver out of this rookie class so far.
So I've got him pinned down for offensive rookie of the year. So got that at a decent price as well. So I'm pretty happy with that. And
I got your other boy, not your Saints boy, but your other boy that you picked up and you liked. I got him pretty at a decent $10, and that was Kenneth Walker, offensive rookie of the year.
Yeah. He's going from strength to strength, but with the injuries that have happened in New Orleans now, with Michael Thomas going on IR, which is extremely disappointing. Like, it's a toe injury now. That's second my boy there at in New Orleans. But God damn it, get them feet right, ankles and toes. Like, what the hell? And with him being gone now, and that could be him shot for the season, then Olave is going to get a lion's share of those targets, and he's a deep threat. He's not just a slant runner like Thomas. Thomas is a physical receiver. Olave is a deep threat, and I think they're a little bit guilty of trying to force feed him a little bit. I think they need that to come a little bit more natural. And let the play develop rather than try and force feed him. But I think he could. He keeps going the way he is. Yeah, I think he's a shoo-in for offensive rookie of the year.
Staying on wide receivers, the Jacksonville Jaguars traded for wide receiver Calvin Ridley. Suspended for the year, Calvin Ridley, picking up a fifth rounder and a conditional fourth that could turn into a third if he ends up playing. Starting the year, could turn into a second. I read as well if he can hit so many yards, but
if he hits incentives, it'll end up turning into a second.
Interesting, because he's still going. Obviously, he's out for the year. He's still got to be reinstated. He's got to apply for reinstatement next year. So he hasn't even technically. I don't know how that works, but he technically is not in the NFL at the moment. Technically.
No, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
I don't know how that works in terms of the picks and all that. I don't get it. But if he wants to come back and he was like what he was, beautiful. They will be, with him and the... And Christian Kirk's been playing, I know the money, but he's been playing pretty good this year.
Yeah.
So it could be good, but it's just... Wow, interesting. I didn't expect to hear Calvin Ridley's name at deadline.
Absolutely not. When I seen that, and I'm like, what, Calvin Ridley, the guy, Calvin Ridley, put $1,000 bet on that he's been
on his own team.
He's been suspended for a whole year. Like,
who put a bet on his own team against the team he just
beat? That's right. This is such. this is so bizarre. Yeah. But like you said, if he gets reinstated, I don't see why he wouldn't. I'm sure he's going to have to jump through a lot of hoops to get reinstatement. But I guess you wouldn't. Would the Jags make that deal if they don't see a future there? Like, surely they have done a little bit of research, or maybe gone to the NFL and gone. He'll be able to be reinstated, right? If he jumps through some hoops and we keep him sort of on the straight and narrow and no DraftKings and no FanDuel or anything like that. We're gonna have to check his phone and make sure he's got none of that shit on his phone. But it's I guess you can go to a casino or something like that. But
to me, I agree with you. I believe they wouldn't have done that deal if they would have talked to the NFL and said, well, yes, he's still going to reapply, but, there's every high chance that he'll be reinstated. We don't have to delve into the whole of other certain players that are going to play this year, but he can use a lot of precedence and say, well, I've set out the year for this. I understand I've done the thing, but, I haven't been accused for a lot of other bad things, but he's only 27, so if he
isn't that coming up quick too? That's like another 3 weeks away, and that Voldemort is going to be playing, in what, 3 weeks? That's unbelievable.
that will be a prime time game and every eye will be on that game.
Oh, yeah. Despite the fact that it's going to be against the Texans as well, which seems to be, I don't know if that's coincidental. I don't know.
What do you mean? That is completely coincidental. That is completely Mr. Commissioner talking to the guy that makes the and probably whoever's got the game, Prime or Fox, because it'll be a primetime game, one of those ones.
That,
or possibly
if it was just your traditional 1 p.m. kickoff over there, that will absolutely be moved. They don't want to get that lost. In an early window of 6 or 7 games, that'll either get moved to a late window of 4:25 or quite possibly be not so much even Fox. That could be I haven't seen the schedule all the way down there. I don't know what the NBC game is, the Sunday night primetime game.
It'll be one of them actually. It'll be one of those ones, but of course that was planned. You can't tell me they did not know that going in. 11 games, because 11 games is just a weird number to pick out. That's what that had to have been planned. 100% had to have been planned.
Yeah, just trying personally to see if I can rustle up.
Well, while you're looking, just on
filibuster. Is it week? It's week 12, right? Week 12?
11.
Oh, it's week 11.
It's here. It says, at the moment, it says 5th of December, 4 a.m. Here. Like, that's our time. But you keep looking while we'll filibuster it a little bit. But,
next up, no deal.
Well, no deals. Packers.
Rainbow Packers. I wanted to save them, but that's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I just think Aaron Rodgers, I looking at his body language, has probably given up on this year.
Even the way that he talks, he's so mellow. He's so comfortable. He's not getting angry. He's not coming out with an RELAX. He's not coming out with we're going to run the table. He knows that he got the massive deal to start this year. He knows that his offensive line is not the greatest, but it's average. He's not being protected very well, and he knows he's got a bunch of rookie receivers that need some work. It was said earlier that they needed to learn off what the Cowboys were doing once Dak Prescott went down. Play to your strengths. You've got two awesome running backs. It's not flashy. Who cares? Do you want to get in the playoffs? Do you want to waste Aaron Rodgers' last couple of years? And that's this year, it's turning into a complete and utter disaster and a waste.
I know it. They lost against the Bills last week, but when they did what you just said,
when they ran the game, they looked good.
200 yards between Dylan and Jones. And that's how they should be playing. It's exactly how they should play.
Yeah, that's right. And I had Buffalo plus 11, and guess what? Minus 11, and guess what? They only won by 10, so they cost me a multi. So it was, but Buffalo should have blown them out of the water in the first half, and they let Green Bay hang around, and then in the second half, they ran the ball very effectively and kept the game close. And even up until it was about probably the like 5 to go in the fourth quarter, if they ended up going for a field goal, getting it to 10 points. There's still plenty of time to go. Like, their defense is okay. They were restricting what the Bills were doing in the second half. And if they could have gotten a cheap turnover or anything like that, get a touchdown, you're right back in the game.
Oh, I agree. I don't know. I mean, they're 3 games behind. At the moment, 3 games behind Minnesota. I picked the Vikings to win the division at the start of the year. I and that wasn't I don't know, I just had this feeling, but I don't think that they have the goods, the Packers, to win this division.
No. Everybody, look, you watch this much.
And then the Vikings will have to lose this week, and which is possible, technically. But if they lose and Vikings win, that's four games behind. I can't see him coming back. Personally.
It seems, to me, even now, impossible the way that they're playing.
Correct.
They're going to have to make those divisional games count, but that's the thing that they have to make. They've already lost to Minnesota already this year. That's the team they need to beat. So they've already lost to them once already this year. So if you're trying to catch them, then you're only going to make up one game if you beat them later on this year. And then they've got to start stringing some wins together. But you know, everything that you hear and see on TV, like on ESPN and stuff like that, it's everybody still believes in Aaron Rodgers, and that's fine, but it's not looking like he can believe in them at the moment. Like it's just not happening. And Aaron Rodgers, it almost seems like he's cool with it.
Maybe because he bloody regrets. He probably honestly regrets that he took the money and Devontae then had to ship himself out.
Boy, hasn't he been a flop at the Raiders?
Yeah, exactly.
He's been a massive flop at the Raiders.
That's a whole different thing to talk about, but that's the Raiders in general.
Who do you believe in more that you think could come back and maybe sort of not so much challenge for the division, but challenge for a playoff spot, the Raiders or the Packers? What do you do there?
None, personally.
Yeah, true. None.
The Seahawks could win that division, but that's a free game.
Great answer. Move on.
Well, seriously, none. I don't believe any. Do you?
No, absolutely not. After the Raiders got blanked by the Saints, like trust is gone. Bye bye.
Not the way the Seahawks are playing at the moment in that division. Yeah. So, what about? I mean, the only other big deal that stood out to me was the Bills getting Nyheim Hines for Zach Moss in a conditional sixth round in return.
I guess just trying to shore up that running back position. I'm not sure. Zach Moss hasn't been lighting the world on fire there in Buffalo. Neither has Singletary really. So I guess they're sort of it's a bit that Hines is a bit more of a gadget type play. You know, he's a good pass catcher in the backfield.
Very good.
So
he's a good player.
He's quick. And he's quick. So I think that's a little bit more of a change in offensive philosophy, a change in dynamic there for Buffalo, just to sort of it's an odd deal because I don't know if that makes them any better. It doesn't make them any worse. You know, they're obviously one of the best teams in the AFC. Did they really need to make a deal or not throughout this? I don't know, but they have.
I think so for the fact of what you said already said, that how much can they trust Singletary at the moment this year? Like that, no, it really at the moment, he's not lighting the world on fire like he did at the end of last year. So at least with Nyheim Hines, he's a very, very good complimentary RB2 and probably could push him to RB1, to be completely honest. I like
possibly,
Nyheim
Hines. But Singletary is really... a good pass catcher as well. So that just makes... I think that almost depletes the run game a little bit more, makes them a little bit more predictable.
Well, Josh, I mean, yeah, in saying that, Josh Allen likes to run the ball too.
Josh Allen's the running back.
Maybe they just want a couple of pass catchers in running back. They might have two of them on the field at the same time. Maybe employ that for a little bit. Who knows?
Yeah, that's right.
Is there any other ones you want to, I guess, finish on? Because anything else was sort of that didn't really stand out to me anyway.
Okay, I got this still for me. I still think there's quite a few no deals to go through. No deal for me, Cam Akers. What's the backflip here now? I'm reading that the Rams are welcoming him back. He's going to be participating in practice. I don't know how true or what's happening there. Why the backflip? It's just an odd. Why couldn't they get a deal done for him? Why doesn't anybody want to take him if that's the case? I'm not sure. That's very confusing. Especially now that they're bringing him back.
Well, that's right. I mean, I guess in their way, they probably felt they had they thought they had no option but not to bring him back. I guess if no one was going to take him, that is. So it's just a weird. I'm still trying to work it. I found this article about explaining what's going on with Cam Reason, but even then, it doesn't really say that much. It's just
there's lot of reporting going on about it. That what I've seen. It's really weird.
If I'm reading this correctly, it seems more of a mental thing.
Yeah.
So it's got some. This is from. Is it Morris? Yeah, Raheem Morris, their defensive coordinator. He just made a little bit of light on the situation. He goes, sometimes you've got to get away from tough situations and go through some vertices to have that ability to come back and shine. We drafted Cam for a reason. We believe in him. He can run the football. He can make people miss. And he's got to get back to doing that. He's got to prove it again to his teammates and he's got to prove it again to his coaches. So... does it just mean he's just lost his complete confidence and
possibly, yeah. He's had a falling out there offensively confidence in him and him maybe confident in the team run game there in LA. Is that a two way street?
I'll go back to what you said about Cam Akers. I think at the start of the year with our pods is. They brought him back too early. And maybe he's got that in his head. And maybe he has it in his head. And maybe he's going, well, you brought me back too early. I don't know if I'm fully I'm fully healed. And maybe he's got that in the head. Maybe he has 40. Maybe he's blamed some people in there. And then they've taken half. Probably has all right to. I still believe that.
This is a start of a Kawhi Leonard situation.
Maybe.
He's not trusting the doctors. The doctors are saying that he's fine. He's telling them he's not. And it's a back and forth from there. But they're trying to trot him out there on the field and go to work, son. And it's just not happening. Whether he's got the confidence there. Like this happened with Todd Gurley as well. He had one rotten knee injury, gone. Now he's retired.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. It's still to me, I don't know. Well, it's the Rams' whole season. If they can get their run game going, they still have a huge chance of making and winning this division. Huge chance. It's going to be very hard, but they still, that division's wide open between Cardinals, the Rams, all four of them. I mean, I think the Raiders are probably a little bit outside, but all four, Seahawks can easily get run down.
Seahawks can get run down. I think they will get run down by San Francisco. I don't know if they can continue to keep running like the way that they are. And the Rams, they haven't looked terrific this year. The Cardinals, holy moly, they looked good last week with D-Hop back, but before that they were awful. And Hopkins coming back can really give them a shot in the arm. So to speak, and give them a chance to sort of to spring up the standings there and maybe take some divisional games away from those other teams and start to climb back into the playoff race. So I think that Arizona look and for me, just sticking with Arizona for a little bit, AJ Green is just there wallowing in nothing at the moment. Could he have been used somewhere? He's still there now. Now that they've got D-Hop back, you know, he's not being used at all. They've got Zach Ertz, who gets a lion's share of the targets from Kyler Murray. It's bizarre. They got him in there for a reason, and he's just not being used.
It feels, although Larry Fitzgerald was, he played his entire career at the Cardinals, but it's starting to feel like what's happening with AJ Green is starting to feel like what's happening with Fitzgerald there, where he's sort of not left out of the cold, but just sort of there because he's there. I don't know. It just feels really weird.
Oh, I just think that he could, if he goes to a team that they could, he could contribute.
Yeah. No, he contributed when he was at the Jags. So I totally agree. Is he a Jags? Yeah, Jags. AJ Green. Jags?
Was he Jags? Just trying to think where he was. I don't think it was that. Jags? No, he wasn't. He wasn't there.
I thought it was the Jags. Any other sort of, I guess, no deals just to finish up?
Kareem Hunt.
Perfect one. That is the one I forgot. Yeah, look. What do you think? Oh, was that to me? Was that more of a Kareem Hunt one to get out, or more of a they wanted to see if they can cash in on Kareem Hunt?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. Like, he can walk at the end of the year, so I would have thought that they may have tried to get something back in return. I think that they're waiting for said quarterback to come back into the mix, which I found out is actually the CBS game It is an early. It is an early window kickoff.
It's an early window.
It's a CBS game, so that absolutely could be switched out because the pro. Oh no, you won't be liking that. The primetime game on NBC. Oh, the Cowboys and the Colts. You won't want that to get kicked off NBC.
I don't really care.
But because it's a CBS game, they could switch it with either one of their late window games, either the Raiders and the Chargers, which is a divisional game, which they probably will want to keep, or the other CBS game that's in the late window that round is Cincinnati and Kansas City. Like, that's...
Maybe they're burying that game, so they don't want the whole, even though people thought I was a beer, they don't want the whole fanfare of what's going on with them. So maybe they just buried it for the league.
Quite possibly.
You're right. Kareem Hunt walks next year. He'll be 28 next year as well. I don't mind Kareem Hunt. I just don't know if he's an RB1 on another team like he thinks he is. Nick Chubb is awesome in that team and still showing it again. I just don't know if he's an RB1 on another team, Kareem Hunt, personally. Unless he has explosive plays and he's okay. I just don't know if he personally is a man, you know what I mean?
No, we know that he's not that, but with his past history, but
true.
I think he can be a contributor somewhere. Again, it's being second fiddle to Nick Chubb, and Nick Chubb is quite the dominant running back. So, whether he's happy to sort of sit there and play second fiddle there in Cleveland. So I just thought that there could have been a little bit more action on Kareem Hunt, considering the fact that he can walk at the end of the season.
Yeah, no, I agree. Look, on the other thing, they like their two-headed running back monster. So maybe, yes, he can walk with
Anthony. It's a good threat to have. Absolutely a good threat to have.
But maybe it is just waiting for Mr. Watson to come back and then see what they can do for the rest of the year.
I think that's what it is. They'll get an upgrade there at quarterback over Jacoby Brissett. I think that, but it's only going to be, five rounds at the back end of the season to sort of get you know, get him acclimated into the offense, and I could only assume that he wouldn't be taking first team snaps at practice, because that's going to have to be for Jacoby Brissett, so they can actually look like a half competent football team. But yeah, I found that was a little bit funny. Look, a deal I think that sort of not so much gets swept under the rug a little bit, but the Bills sort of trying to as well, I think, sort of upgrade a little bit in the backfield defensively, getting Marlowe from the Falcons and only having to give up like a seventh rounder. Like, I think they're trying to get a little bit more backfield depth. Are they still waiting on Micah Hyde to come back? I think their secondary has been probably their lower point of their team dynamic. They're still a very balanced team, but I think that, yeah, with them trying to get a little bit of an, not so much an upgrade, but just to get a little bit more depth, you know, either at safety or a cornerback, I don't mind that. Yeah, to have depth is perfect, yeah, especially coming towards the end of the season. And, you know, if the Falcons, they want to give up on that, which is a bit odd too, because, yeah, the Falcons are, they're well in the mix in the worst division in football. So it's definitely a very odd move, I think, for Atlanta, but I don't mind it for Buffalo.
No, I don't mind it for Buffalo at all. Atlanta is a team that I just can't figure out this year.
I don't know. I really don't. I don't know if they're good. I don't know if they're bad.
That's right.
I don't know if Tampa is good. I don't know if Tampa's bad. I don't know if the Saints are good. I don't know if the Saints are bad. And I know that Carolina's bad, but they're still in the mix for the division. So
they're still well in the mix for the division.
Yeah.
That division is just insane.
Oh, it's a disaster.
I don't know. I mean, Atlanta, yes, the leading at the moment. Anybody could win that division. Like, literally, that division is probably going to be 8-9 winning division team.
Yeah, possibly.
And
stink fest.
Of course. And the Bucks don't make it. I honestly believe that Tom's gone at the end of this year.
If they don't make the playoffs, or if they make the playoffs and they get, I don't see them getting a wild card because their record just simply won't be good enough. But even if they do somehow sneak into a wild card game and they get bounced in that first round, I think he could quite possibly be done. So unfortunately it's out with the old and in with the new. But I don't know what the new is. In Tampa, is it Kyle Trask? Is it they make a deal to get somebody else there to take over from Tom? Oh, I seriously don't think it's Blaine Gabbert. So it's one of those situations. Just one more, I think, just before we finish there, just one more no deal, and I think it's got quite a little bit of comedy around it, and it involves the Carolina Panthers and DJ Moore.
Yeah. No, I personally like that they didn't move him. They signed him for 3 years. He's 25. Oh, and they showed last week when, you know, they don't have to have McCaffrey there and PJ Walker can throw a ball. He's good at DJ Moore.
Absolutely. But there was rumor swirling around that there's the possibility that if they could just be going full rebuild there in Carolina, what's the point in keeping DJ Moore? But they obviously still sort of believe in him a little bit until, I don't know if you've seen the end of that Panthers Falcons insanity last week.
That was
the final 4 minutes and overtime. That's one of the most insane games I've ever seen.
Should not have been a penalty. He was off the field. The rule says you're allowed to take your helmet off when you're off the field. He was fine. And even the referee coordinator came out that week and said, no, it was actually another player that was coming to run with him that took the helmet off while he was on the field. That's crap.
Yeah, I just thought it was just...
It should not have happened. They should have won that game. They should have. What they had that game won up until that.
Yeah. Why can't Pinheiro just kick an extra point? Like, how hard's that?
Well, there is that too, but. You know, I'm saying,
just
like,
kick the extra. It doesn't matter if it's been forced back 15 yards. He shanked that extra point something.
That's
fierce.
The other thing.
And then even in overtime, as soon as he went for that field goal, he kicked it. He knew he missed it.
15 yards for taking your helmet off, as well.
Oh no, that's no, that's, I mean, some of the BS penalties that get rolled around in the NFL. You know, taunting and, you know, excessive celebrations and, oh no, I farted on the quarterback. Oh, that's 15 yards and that's roughing the passer. Like, get out of here.
Isn't one of them like where they hit him after the play or something, they only get 5 yards? But taking a helmet off is 15 yards.
Well, you're not allowed to celebrate that you score?
Oh my God. You can, but you got to keep your helmet on the field. He was out of the field. Yeah, well within his role. I'm surprised they didn't protest it, to be honest. Surprised they didn't protest it. Because
it's not the West Tigers going to protest against their loss against the Cowboys. Once the referee hands down the decision, it's as final as you know, the referee's not going to change his decision and go, oh, no, well, I screwed up there. You know,
why didn't the flag get thrown?
I know they can pick the flag up, but when it's for stuff like, that's one of the discretionary penalties that you know, if the referee doesn't like the way that it's been celebrated or anything of like that, like, you know, maybe there was a few too many hip thrusts or you know, there's some sort of obscene gestures that get thrown out there. Then maybe, but it's just, yeah. I get it. He was excited. I understand it. There was just complete bedlam at the end of that game. But even if the extra point didn't get pushed back 15 yards, extra points can still be missed.
No, well, that's right. And that guy could have got a couple before that as well. That Pinheiro.
Pinheiro had a bit of a shocker. So and look, kickers have been sacked for less than that. Go all the way back to week one in Rodrigo Blankenship. Yes. Missed the kick to win it for Indianapolis in that draw against Houston in week one. Boom, gone.
Yeah.
He missed two. Right. He missed an extra point and a field goal in clutch positions. Do you know what I mean? Like it's a ruthless business, I understand, but you know, people have been sacked. People have been sacked for less.
Yeah, that's true. No, that is true. But yeah, no, I thought it was ridiculous play.
It just created more insanity towards the end of it. There was I think Atlanta won the toss. They elected to keep the ball and then Mariota throws a pick. And you're like, oh, here we go. Like an early pick as well. And you're like, oh, well, here we go. It's all over. You know, Carolina's just got, yeah, they've marched down the field, you know, quite well towards the end of that game. And they'll just march down the field. Pinheiro will knock the field goal over. And then he misses. And you're like, good God, somebody win this game.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Oh, it was anybody unbelievable. They just had it focused on red zone, like just the arse end of that game. They didn't want to go anywhere else because they could just see the chaos that was happening in that game, and they basically just sort of stayed there on red zone. And it was, yeah, you got the full experience of an awful division. So that was whether that was good or bad, I don't know. If you're a fan to be the team, you just would have been pulling your hair out on either side.
Good point. That will do it now, I guess, for our trade NFL deadline, deadline day, which you normally wouldn't talk about, but it's just because there were so many deals that happened.
No, that's right. And I reckon that's not so much the norm, maybe not this many deals, but yeah, I think that this is going to become quite a regular thing because the NBA one is can be quite chaotic and you know, they sort of make focus on it a little bit. And yeah, I think this one now, sort of theories that have been thrown out there of there's younger GMs that are out there and they're all of the the fantasy football era. So, you know, they're out there looking, they're out there looking to make deals. They're not just going, we'll trust in the guys that we've had, you know, since the start of the year, since minicamp. You know, let's go out there and let's make some deals. Let's F them picks. Let somebody
They're not Bill Belichick, in other words.
No, that's right. Well, that's right. They're not Bill Belichick, and they're not the Green Bay Packers, who are just they just refuse to make deals around this time of year. Just refuse.
No, that's a whole different ball game with the Packers.
Weird.
No, we'll do it. Yeah, go. You're right.
No, I was very, very concerned that there was rumors out there that that Alvin Kamara, my boy, could quite possibly be on the move, and I was very, very, very glad that that no deals were made for him. There was talks about him going back to Philadelphia and getting their first round pick back from them, but I was very glad that that no deal was made, and he went out there against the Raiders and scored 3 touchdowns. So, well, that was obviously before the deadline, but I was quite glad that that the Saints didn't make a deal for him, because that's my boy, and I would have been horrendous to see him in another uniform.
Yeah, no, there was talk about it, but I mean, I wouldn't have done it for another team without knowing what's going to happen with him next year, personally.
No, absolutely. That's a hindrance, and also, the Saints wanted a comparable, if not better, deal than what McCaffrey got, so because Kamara can actually stay on the field, at least injury wise anyway. Like, he's had a lot less injuries than what McCaffrey has. It'll just be the off-field incidents that that could quite possibly keep him off the field next year. But I'm sure his management team and his group of guys will have a full guy that they'll throw under the bus for him, so that that'll keep him on the field. So fingers crossed.
Yeah, we'll see.
Even though there's video evidence of it.
We'll see. 6 games. I'll call that now. We'll get 6 games.
Well, yeah, that's it. It's a sticky situation for the NFL police to gauge a punishment for him. But now that the case has been sort of shunted back until next year, then we just got to sit and wait.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, that'll do us. That's not bad at all. We pumped through that really good. I thought we covered a lot of ground there. So you can check us out on social media. We're on Facebook. You can search the Final Play Podcast. Like and follow us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter. The handle there is @FinalPlayPod. You can get our podcasts on SoundCloud and on Spotify. You can also find us and get our podcasts on the Gimco Podcast Network and also on their website, which is gimco.com.au, G-I-M-K-O. Check those guys out. They're also on Facebook. They're at Eureka Sports Cards. So you can check them out and you can get onto anything that you need in regards to sports cards across a whole range of sports, whether it's AFL, NFL, NRL, NBA, Major League Baseball, WWE. They got the lot. So check those guys out. That's Eureka Sports Cards on Facebook and gimco.com.au. So check those guys out.
Well, very good.
Great stuff.
Yeah, great stuff. Good good pod, good week. I guess we'll wait and see how all these trade deals will pan out, really. Just to finish up then, if you had to say out of all those ones, which one will probably be the best deadline deal? I think you've already sort of said it, but which one do you reckon will work out future-wise?
What will work out the most will be Hockenson to Minnesota. I think that will work out the best because we've seen the track record of what he's got.
Interesting.
The best deal, but it's a bit of a lottery, is can Bradley Chubb stay healthy, because he's missed a lot of games in his career early on. But But yeah, Miami sort of going all in, you know, in a lot of ways, to try and compete with the Bills. Are they better than the Bills? I don't know. They've beaten them this season, but it's something that you haven't probably seen from the Dolphins in recent years, that they're just going all in. And yeah, it's a slight gamble with Chubb, but I think that has the bigger ramifications. I think, because Minnesota looks like they'll run away with the division just this year we're talking about.
Yeah, no, I think that was a better deal. The TJ one actually is not bad, because I think he could seriously help them not only win the division there, but at least give a decent push. You know, they could be a shock outsider, you know, pushing. I don't think they're going to make the divisional championship, but they could be a shock outsider. No one talks.
Oh yeah,
about
no, absolutely. Yeah, if they, you know, get, if
just,
they
just
get
like the Bengals, just like the Bengals did last year. No one, you know, NFC is completely wide open. Just the Eagles haven't got it sewn up. The Niners, you know, you got Dallas in there. You've got, you know, the NFC side is completely wide open.
Yeah, but they don't have as many teams as what the AFC are. The AFC is.
Well,
the AFC
right.
is going to be the playoffs for the AFC are going to be awesome, but you know, the NFC have got some really good, you know, top echelon teams, and then they've got some rubbish as well. So, you know, I think the disparity between the two, I think, will come out in the playoffs. I think there might be a couple of awful sort of wild card games in the NFC, but I think everything in the AFC is going to be awesome if this season continues to be what it is. Then the AFC is going to be unreal.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Well, have a good week, everyone.
Have a good week, everyone. See ya.